Brian McLaren is an author, speaker, pastor, and networker among innovative Christian leaders, thinkers, and activists. One of his most recent books, Everything Must Change, asks the question, what are the world's top crises, and what do the life and message of Jesus say to these global crises? His next book, Finding Our Way Again, explores the ancient Christian spiritual practices such as fixed hour prayer, fasting, and sincere observance of the Sabbath. I sat down with Brian in Toronto recently to talk to him about these two books and to explore his thoughts on the value of fasting for change in a world in which more than 800 million people are living with hunger. Brian, thanks for agreeing to talk to us today. I'm interested in the fact that your two most recent books, you wrote Everything Must Change, mm-hmm. and then you wrote Finding Our Way Again. Yeah. And the first one is really primarily about social justice mm-hmm. issues, social change. And then you write a book about returning to ancient spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. And some people might see that as a little bit schizophrenic, mm-hmm. or I think it's Phyllis Tickle that talks about Christians kind of placing themselves in one of four quadrants and focusing on one of those. I'm curious what place you came from that caused you to write two books. And I'm also interested, because of the timing, one on top of the other, what is the connection? What's the connection between social change and returning to spiritual practices?
Well, it was really interesting. When Everything Must Change came out, my more conservative critics said, there, he's just going into the social gospel. He has no appreciation for personal spiritual formation. And of course, the irony is I was writing that book when they were saying those things. So, mm-hmm. But this is exactly our problem. We tend to have this sort of bipolar understanding of the faith. It's either excessively personal without a social dimension or excessively social without a personal dimension. And what we need is a strongly social and personal dimension. So in my view, to try to work for global transformation without personal transformation is absolutely fruitless, and it's hypocritical. And to work for personal transformation apart from social transformation is incredibly short-sighted. And I think in my mind, I grew up seeing those two things as enemies. Mm-hmm. But in the last 10 or 15 years, now, to me, they're not only reconciled, I honestly can't conceive of one without the other. In a way, it's what Gandhi said. You have to be the change. I think it was Gandhi, at least everybody says Gandhi said it. I don't think it was Monty Python, but you have to be the change you want to see in the world. Uh-huh. So spiritual formation, to me, is a social act. Uh-huh. It's saying, I believe there should be peace in the world. Well, how can there be peace in my heart? I believe there should be love in the world. How can there be love in my heart? And that's what I think personal spiritual formation is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are just along those same lines. On World Food Day, we are inviting people to fast for change.
Yeah.
And you do talk a little bit about fasting in your book. I'm just curious, do you see a connection between fasting and change? Mm-hmm. And do you think that fasting can lead to change? Is that is there a correlation there?
Well, when we go back to ancient practices, this is something that is really important in all of our religions. It's fascinating. Fasting is one of the most widespread practices. Muslims believe in it. Christians believe in it. Jews believe in it. Different sects of Hinduism and Buddhism have a place for fasting. So I think it's a time-tested value. The way I understand spiritual practices is they do for our soul what exercise does for our body. So you'd say, well, does exercise have any effect? Well, of course it does. Mm-hmm. Well, what are we exercising when we exercise our will to not feed our bodies and not indulge our hunger? We're exercising some pretty important muscles. We're saying there's something that's more important to me than eating. Mm-hmm. There's something that's more important to me than impulse gratification. I have higher values than my own comfort mm-hmm. in any given moment. Well, that has a whole lot of effects. I talk about some of those in that book, Finding Our Way Again. But one of the things it does is if you spend a couple days feeling uncomfortably hungry, it also increases your compassion mm-hmm. for the people who are on an involuntary fast.
Right.
So I think it really can bring change.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I want to talk a little bit about hunger. You've traveled a lot in countries where there is significant hunger, and I know that you've done a lot of reading and research and trying to grapple with the issues. I'm just wondering what, in your opinion, if you can narrow it down to, you know, one or two things, what are some of the critical things that we really need to focus on? And by we, I say the collective we, because I don't think that, you know, we as North Americans can fix things, nor neither can they, you know, as people living with hunger. But what can we collectively do to focus on ending hunger?
Yeah, well, let me start by saying if we, the collective we, and I think this, there's no better place for this to start than our churches, and our churches are so, right now, I think, underutilized and undermobilized on this, and this is where Fast for Change can really help make a difference. If we embed in our people a value that we shouldn't go to bed full when our neighbors are going to bed hungry, that's just unacceptable. That value will prompt us to action in a lot of different areas. Now, I think we have to pay attention to two broad areas. The first is there's political action, because 100,000 good individual actions can be wiped away as if they never existed by one bad government policy.
Right.
You know, going to war once when you don't need to, it compensates and it decompensates for 100,000 good things that could have been done or that have been done but that are wiped away. You know, for example, one of the really big issues we have to help the majority of the world's poor people who are rural, 70% I think it is that are rural, we have to help them improve agricultural practices. So, because an awful lot of people who are hungry, if they were given help in improving their agricultural practices, their land could produce enough calories to keep their children healthy. So, and thank God there are great organizations doing that sort of thing. And there's so much more to be done. But if that country goes to war, 30 years of agricultural advance are gone in a heartbeat. Or if for whatever reason, hundreds of thousands of people migrate from that region and leave their land, all of their expertise in caring for the land is gone. So all of these mass political things are, we've got to realize they're important if you care about hunger. So that's the first thing. But then the second thing are all the thousands of creative projects that people can take on. And some of them are in the realm of aid. We have to help people in emergencies. Some of them are in the realm of trade. And a lot of people don't realize this, but you know, if you want to help people get and stay out of hunger, they need a good economy. And if they need a good economy, it's either going to be good local economies, which they need, or they're going to need some entree into the global economy. And what we don't realize in Canada and the U.S. and Europe in general is that our trade policies are keeping an awful lot of hungry countries out of the global economy. So we have to advocate on behalf of other people.
Those are fairly big things when you're talking about war and trade, and sometimes they seem too big.
That's right.
But we do want to try to break them down a little bit. And, and the subheading for Fast for Change is Imagine the Power of a Small Change.
Yes.
So when people ask you, as I'm sure they do, what are those small changes that could potentially have significant impact? What? How do I start tomorrow? I can't change the government. We, you know, we try to stop them from going to war, but for some reason we can't get them to stop. How do I still do something that I can feel is meaningful tomorrow?
Well, let me talk. I mean, obviously, first there's the area of aid, and that involves us giving money and all the great NGOs and mission organizations that do wonderful things to help people in need. That is not a small thing, and you're obviously very aware of how important that is. I mean, that saves people's lives. But, you know, when I did the research for this book, Everything Must Change, when I finished, I came away feeling that perhaps the most important thing we could do in North America is follow the lead of the English in promoting fair trade. So, for example, probably the product that most people know of, the second, I believe it's the second largest legally traded commodity in the world is coffee. So when you realize that every cup of coffee you drink either came from a farmer who is paid well or from a farmer who is paid poorly. So you start to realize, well, I could buy fair trade coffee. And even some companies are going beyond fair trade, and they call it just coffee. And, mm-hmm. and they're so you realize, well, that's a choice I can make.
Right.
And then Christmas comes along, and you're going to buy some presents anyway. Well, why not go to a website like tradeisone.org or 10,000 Villages? Mm-hmm. And why don't you buy a gift for somebody that has some meaning to it, and you know the person who made that gift is really well paid?
Right.
What becomes beautiful about that is that the world's poorest people, and you've seen this, I've seen it, they're in places that so many of them are in places where there just isn't a functioning economy. Mm-hmm. So when we try to help them build a fair economy, it's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. I call it, it's wallet democracy. It's the vote that you cast with every dollar
right.
you put down.
Right. With that, I want to say thank you very much. Thanks for speaking with us. But more importantly, thanks. Thank you for being a catalyst for change in the world.
And can I just say thank you to all the people who work with you and contribute to what you're doing, because, I mean, isn't it interesting? That really is the heartbeat of God in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the pulses of generosity and action. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.